Hello and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dunn, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the show. As we post this, we're right on the tail end of March, which is Fraud Prevention Month. And in this edition of the podcast, we take a look at one of the newer frontiers for fraud, because really anywhere there's money, there's going to be fraud, isn't there? Cryptocurrency. Now, such currencies as Bitcoin are still pretty much in their nascence, and the very idea of them being tied to a shared, indelible public ledger like blockchain should suggest some level of fraud resistance. But there's always a but. And it's those buts that we'll discuss with Tony Anscombe, global security evangelist for ESET, who joins us to offer his take on what he sees as a gold rush around cryptocurrency. Where are the risks in that gold rush? And what do you, as a solution provider to businesses that may be looking at taking or otherwise transacting in cryptocurrencies, need to know? All that and much more in this edition of the podcast, so let's get right into it. My chat with Tony Anscombe. Tony, thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure, Rob. Good to be here with you.
We're doing this in large part because it's Fraud Prevention Month, and we're getting in on the sort of the back end of that month as we do this. But I guess one of the new fronts for fraud is the realm of cryptocurrency. And well, I guess to open it, can you give us some thoughts on Fraud Prevention Month and the world of fraud through ESET's eyes?
Well, fraud is obviously never a great thing, and fraud and malware go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Once cyber criminals realize they can start making money, whether it's through, as you just mentioned, cryptocurrency, or whether it's through traditional phishing scams or stealing our identities or our money from us in any other way, then they will do so. Cyber crime is a business, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are an interesting topic for this, I think, because they're out there, they're growing, and I feel like there's less awareness, perhaps, generally speaking, around these things and what they are and what they can be and what they aren't, perhaps, than making it something that someone who maybe wouldn't get fooled by, you know, the average. Please log into your Apple ID. We don't know what there's a problem here from an account that is in no way linked to an Apple ID or anything like that. Can you share a little bit about how you see cryptocurrency being used in the fraud world?
Okay. Well, firstly, I think it's good to start with. I think we're in the cryptocurrency rush, and let's liken this to the gold rush of earlier, many years ago. And it's that rush of people coming into this without understanding the consequences or understanding what they're doing. Mm. They actually don't know what the gold looks like, to use that analogy.
Sure.
So they're rushing in and they're downloading apps and they're downloading wallets, etc., when actually they don't understand which ones are real, which ones aren't real, and actually how the system works. So it's this speculation. This urge to get rich quick, I think, that is causing some of that problem. And cyber criminals are playing on that lack of understanding and creating things that are designed to fool you, in very traditional ways. So, for example, you can find fake apps for cryptocurrency exchanges in app stores that are phishing for login details. Sound familiar to other scams? It absolutely is, because if they can get your login details, then potentially they can own your exchange account, and off they go, and they've started to take money off you.
To what degree does sort of the regulation or lack thereof around cryptocurrencies at this point in the game affect the kinds of scams and perhaps enable the kinds of scams that we see?
Well, I think the lack of regulation, one, is also causing the fluctuation. If you look at recently, the SEC turned around and said they're looking at regulating some of the exchanges, and the price dropped by, I think it was instantly, by 9%.
Yeah.
So the lack of regulation is definitely causing that fluctuation. But when you have regulation, a regulator will step in and turn and make sure that The the consumer of the currency understands and has certain information. So if you and I go into a bank and try and open a bank account, the bank will give you a page of terms, easy to read terms. You know, if you had those easy to read terms when you're starting a cryptocurrency account, then you would be better educated on what you should and shouldn't be doing, and some of the scams that are happening probably wouldn't be happening. So regulation would actually lock a lot of that down.
How do you see the scams that are out there affecting use of cryptocurrency and the users of cryptocurrency, both those who are, you know, legit and aware, and those who are the prospectors that you described, sort of chasing fool's gold at this point?
Well, I think there's two sides. There's one, people trying to be fraudulently taking somebody's wallet or their exchange ID, which is a direct attack on the end user, so the person, i.e. holding the cryptocurrency. Then you've got the other side of people mining. So the way cryptocurrency works is it requires blockchain and requires extensive processing for each transaction. Mm-hmm. Some websites or some apps appear as miners, so that you can earn money by becoming part of that resource that is creating the transaction or creating the next Bitcoin, so to speak. But of course, if you're earning money, then so can malware writers. If they host something on a website and your machine's being used while you're on that website to mine, or they're installing an app and you think you're playing maybe a game on your device, or in the background you're actually mining, it's taking your resources and probably without your consent or knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we've started to see that with apps, in some cases even sort of explicitly using it as an alternative to a in-app purchase or as a freemium upgrade. Is you can have the premium features and you can have them for quote-unquote free, but we're just going to take some of your resources.
Exactly. And in fact, recently we demonstrated such apps running on an Android TV. And the TV continued to mine even when you switched it off. So you know, it's not just the traditional devices of phones and laptops that we think that, you know, we tend to think about. It could be other IoT type devices in your household being used in this way as well.
So far, we've talked about this at the sort of consumer or end user level, because I think that's where a lot of the immediate impact is. But why should businesses, and we, you know, we did touch on regulation a little bit, but why should businesses and governments as well care about cryptocurrency and the potential for fraud around it?
Firstly, I mean, let's go back to that gold rush. When you have a gold rush, it needs in some way to be managed, because otherwise it becomes destabilizing to actually the economy around it, because everybody's going to go out and try and become, you know, the next billionaire, so to speak. Governments need to come and step in and regulate. We also need to regulate here as well, because it's being used, you know, as everybody knows, is Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies are kind of pseudo-anonymous. So you can own and transact without somebody knowing who you are. And I say pseudo because there are certain methods of trying to find out who the person is. When you've got a currency that can be transacted that way, then money laundering, crime, and all the other bad things, it will get used for. And actually regulation and government stepping in and putting some stability to it will actually stop it being used in that way. One thing I don't think we think enough about when you see cryptocurrency go up to $20,000 on an exchange and double in 6 months, mm-hmm. You're also doubling the wealth of the criminals that are using that cryptocurrency as well, which is actually a really bad thing.
All right. We've started to see cases where businesses are starting to take cryptocurrencies, things like Bitcoin. I believe the most prominent example recently here in Canada has been restaurants in some cases. What do you think of businesses, consumer or even B2B type businesses, starting to take cryptocurrency instead of more traditional forms of payment?
Well, I think we need to think of it just as another payment method. So if you have a business and you have a payment gateway, you probably already take cash. You probably already take, Visa and American Express and Diners Club, and you can take wire transfers. You can take, so adding another electronic method of payment into this would seem a natural extension of transacting with a client. I will say now, interesting, restaurants seem to be the key here. I've never seen anybody pay with Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency actually in a restaurant. So I don't know whether it's gimmicky or whether they're looking towards the future and actually seeing something there that will generate more business for them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you seen the embrace of cryptocurrencies in other either B2C or B2B type businesses thus far?
Well, like I say, I think it's being added to payment gateways. And in fact, I read an article last week where a journalist actually tried to go out and spend either gold or they tried to spend cryptocurrency. I think they found it slightly easier to spend cryptocurrency than they did gold, which I think may put that in good context. However, I did also read that somebody managed to pay their children's school fees recently. Okay. To a private school with cryptocurrency. So it's clearly becoming a little bit more normal.
As it becomes more mainstream, where do you see cryptocurrency going, both in terms of sort of acceptance and in terms of the potential and or reality of fraud and security issues around it?
Well, I think, the SEC saying they're going to look at the word exchange and some of the exchanges and look at regulation around them. You've seen other countries turn and say, we're banning cryptocurrency for this time being, et cetera, or we're looking to regulate. I think once somebody steps in and regulates, it becomes then a more stable environment. Lots of people turn and say, are you into cryptocurrency? And I often say, actually, no, I kind of have my cryptocurrency already in my pocket. The difference is my cryptocurrency is backed up by by a government who look after the currency that it's in. So the value doesn't fluctuate too much. It's a bank account. I very rarely spend cash these days.
Yeah.
We all use cards or we make payments with our phones. That is actually a kind of cryptocurrency. Yeah. So is cryptocurrency in this format that we're seeing now, is it just a currency that's not specifically linked to any other currency, i.e. not linked to a government? So I think there's going to be a merger of these two things. I think somehow we're going to see cryptocurrency become more regulated, more stabilized, and more like the electronic payment methods we're already seeing in our pockets today.
All right. Obviously, a good portion of our audience is the reseller, the VAR, who's working with businesses, in many cases small businesses, in many cases restaurants, storefronts, etc., that may be looking to have their interest piqued by cryptocurrency. And certainly may be using, as you say, gateways that may be eyeing cryptocurrency. What would your advice be to that community, those VARs and resellers to those businesses, in terms of A, what they need to know about cryptocurrency today, and B, what they should be telling their customers in terms of the usability, the risk, those sorts of factors?
Well, there are certain things that a business should do to stay safe. I mean, obviously, as a user of the currency, they become like everybody, pretty much everybody else. Mm-hmm. But they should go in this understanding. Don't join the gold rush. Don't rush. Don't run into this mm-hmm. without taking good advice or getting good education on. What are legitimate exchanges? What are the legitimate apps that you want to use? What are the legitimate services you want to use? And one thing I'd say to nearly everybody, but more importantly a business, especially when you're taking in transactions from maybe your customers, is to protect your wallet and services with two-factor authentication. In the same way we do with other other services like our bank accounts, etc., you know, make sure you turn that on so that if somebody, you are unfortunate enough to have somebody try and steal your money or try and fraudulently take your cash out of your wallet or your accounts or interrupt your exchange transactions, then you've got that second level of authentication in there as well.
All right. Brilliant. Any closing thoughts on the state of security and cryptocurrency at this point in time or Fraud Prevention Month in general?
Well, first thing I'd say is, you know, a company like ESET, you know, we have teams and teams of researchers. We have 110 million users out there all feeding our ecosystem. So we see a lot of this bad stuff way before anybody else does. Mm-hmm. So make sure you've got security software, make sure it's up to date, and make sure it's running correctly on the devices that you intend to use to actually transact with.
Sage advice, Tony. Appreciate your time once again.
Good to meet you, Rob. Thank you.
So there you have it, a look into the potential risks of cryptocurrency with ESET's Tony Anscombe. I'd like to thank Tony for joining us for the show and ESET for its sponsorship of the site. And of course, thank you for joining us for this edition of the show. We'll be back next week with another big edition. We're going to be joined by Sage Canada Managing Director Paul Struthers as we discuss some of the macro trends that he sees impacting the business community and in turn the channel as we turn the corner on the first quarter of 2018. It should be a great podcast, so I hope you'll join us next week. Until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.